supposed to know? Tell me, baby, because I need to know, because oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go.
I start singing and Carlin is like right up my ass right now. He hears that Britney Spears and he can't help it. This little mutt of mine. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. It is Monday. My voice is cracking because I'm just going through puberty. It's Monday. It's a Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm Jessie May, your adorable host. And we're here. We're here together. We're here. And yeah, I'm very excited. I don't know why I'm excited. I mean, half the time people say they're excited. They're not excited. They're just trying to get themselves excited about something. Right now, I don't know if you can hear, I'm actually recording out of my apartment today. And I'm looking at Fozzie and it looks like he's literally going to die. Well, he's going to die. We're all going to die. We're on that inevitable journey to death. But if you follow me and you know my life, Fozzie is, he's my little 5-pound Mexican asshole chihuahua of a dog. He's about 10 years old and he has heart disease, advanced heart disease, whatever the fuck that means. You know what advanced heart disease translates to veterinary terms? This is going to cost you a shitload of money. And what I'm realizing is I envy people whose dogs just get hit by a car and die that way. Like, if you can choose, you know, choose your own adventure, I want to choose my own dog's death and just really speed this up, because watching him heave and hoe, he has these like hacking moments where he's like, and he'll do that for 20 minutes and look me in the eyes like, why are you keeping me alive? What is wrong with you? And then I feel like a crazy person keeping her sick dog alive. But now there's moments like this where he's completely running around the apartment. I feel like I have like a zombie dog that just, he's in between being a zombie and a alive, and he doesn't know which way he wants to go. And they're doing construction above my apartment right now, which is really fucking annoying. I mean, just, can't they realize that I'm trying to do a podcast and just cater to my needs right now? I am going to be in Atlanta, Hotlanta. Watch out now. I'm going to be at the Atlanta Improv, ATL, Thursday, August 27th, Friday, August 28th, and Saturday, August 29th. So please get your tickets. Find the Atlanta Improv website. I don't even know what the hell it is. I'll find it right now for you guys. Look how resourceful I'm going to be. How do you spell Atlanta? Atlanta Improv. I'll put it right into my trusty little computer here. And it's theimprovatlanta.com. Go there, buy your tickets. The last weekend of August, I'll be there with my platonic life partner, Marcela Josefina Arguello. And then I'm doing a college gig at the University of Connecticut on Sunday after that. And don't think I forgot to announce the winner of my hashtag contest that I did on my Instagram page. I'm going to be doing this a few times a month at least. I have 4 necklaces that the Urban Smith made custom for this contest specifically. Her and I came up with a couple fun phrases. And this week we're giving away the dope badass nameplate necklace. And if you're unfamiliar with this contest, it'll be ongoing. I asked you guys to post a funny hashtag to a photo that I posted, and it was a photo of me with my mac and cheese box. And so we went over those, all the submissions. You guys were very funny. I was very impressed with you, and I'm going to announce the winner at the end of the podcast. You know it. You got to listen to the whole thing, baby, to get your gift. And then I was going to try and go visit my family. I haven't seen my family in quite some time. I haven't seen all of them together. I've seen each of them separately. I saw my dad came to see me in January. And then my father, he just sunbathed on the roof of my apartment. Where I was living at the time, I had a patio on the top of my apartment. And every morning I woke up and my father was gone. And I would go out to find him, and he would be up on my patio with his shorts rolled up, too high for comfort, if you ask me. And he had his shirt off, and he was sunbathing. So that's Joe Peluso for you. That's the last time I saw my dad. And then my mom came to my shows when I was in Richmond, Virginia. She came to those shows and broke her foot. I don't know if you guys remember that, but she broke her foot. She's still healing. So things aren't going so great when my parents come to see me. My dad's getting sunburned. My mom's breaking her feet. I haven't seen my sister in forever. But I found out some amazing news. My sister is going to pop out a baby from her womb. My sister Emily is preggers. She's got a bun in the oven. And I was like, yes, take the pressure off of me, bitch. Woo! Now I don't have to have the baby. Now my mom can be satisfied with my sister popping a baby out. I can just have my dogs and go out whenever the hell I want to without having to find a babysitter. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to be an auntie again. Very, very pumped up. I keep sending my sister baby names. Nothing that makes sense. I'm like, Huckleberry bologna sandwich. Just think about it. Think about it. Ghostface Killa Jr. Can you just let it simmer? Let it simmer. Teapot Argyle the Fourth. Can you just please let the name sit for a minute? Let it breathe and see if it grows on you. I'm so excited. She's having something grow inside of her right now. I do too, but it's just a fart. I'm just growing a fart in my womb, which is a queef. That's gross. We got there so fast. I'm single. And yeah, so I'm very excited about my sister to have a baby. My mother and my father are separated, and my father had a wife before her, and my mother had a husband after him. Christmases are fun! So my mother and father had my sister and Emily, and my father had, with his first wife, Joan, had Chris and Karen. So my father has four daughters, and my sister Karen has two kids. And Emily is going to have her first. So this is going to be my mother and father's first grandchild together, even though they're separate. Fast forward to me becoming a comedian. Oh God, they separated when I was a young child. But this is going to be very exciting for my mom. She can stop bugging me to have children. Actually, you know what? She doesn't even really do that now because she realizes that it probably won't happen for me. I'll most likely have a llama before I have a baby. Just let that simmer. I'll most likely have a llama because I don't know if I'm going to be able to be there enough for a child. I'm on the road so much. I can't even bring Carlin with me. I come home, he's all pissed off because I haven't been around and I have to communicate to a dog where I've been all weekend. Fozzie Bear's a dick who gets to travel with me, so already I'm a dysfunctional dog mom. I'm not going to be a good mom at this point in my life, so I'm just glad that my sister's going to pop out a fucking kid, and I can be like, there you go, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, I hope everybody is happy now. My mom can just, you know, fulfill that womanly need to hold something. Get a chinchilla, lady. Quit barking up our reproductive tree, you maniac. Get a box of wine and put a diaper on it, Nancy. I'm such an asshole. Oh my God. Where's Bradley Cooper? I'm so lonely. Can somebody just fucking take me out? I just want to be taken out on a date. And like, not just anybody. You know, I've got standards. So the crazy motherfuckers who are sending messages and I don't respond, understand why. Check yourself. Either be a gentleman, smart, or say something new. Don't send me, you know, your gross, scatological, perverse messages, okay? Even though junk comes out of my mouth sometimes, I don't want it going in my ear. I'm a lady, okay? I'm a lady in the streets and a freak on stage. Let's just calm down. But yeah, I just want to be taken out on a date. I want a little romance in my life. And I'm not one of these girls like, you know, women grow up and we're force-fed this romantic idea about what relationships should be. And women should be the princess and the men are the princes. And they're going to come rolling in on a horse and lay down a magical carpet ride. And then I'm going to have feet and walk on the beach for once. I'm basically talking about two Disney scenarios. I think I just did Aladdin and The Little Mermaid. But even then, they're still selling the idea of this romantical love that doesn't really exist. And so I just want a little bit of that old school love. And I didn't really want it for so long. Like, I've been so independent in my life, especially with this career. All I do is work. All I do is work. And if I'm not working, I'll take a couple hours to myself, or I either get a massage. Ooh, I should get a massage tonight. Or I go to the beach for a little bit. I take very little tidbits of time to chill out. But even then, when I chill out, I'm thinking about work. You know, like, I just was at the beach a couple days ago, a couple afternoons ago, yesterday, actually, Sunday afternoon with Laura Murphy, who you guys know if you listen to my podcast, the director of Girl Code, one of my best friends. And we just, you know, had a little slow gin fizz cocktail at Scopa on Washington Boulevard in Marina Del Rey. If anybody's in Marina Del Rey, go to Scopa. Their brunch is phenomenal. Get the spaghetti and meatballs. Don't question it. Spaghetti and meatballs in the morning. Don't fucking question it. I mean, well, our morning was at like 1 p.m., but still. But her and I had a little bit of work to do because I'm working on something. So, you know, we went, had a little Scopa, had a little slow gin fizz. We passed out on the beach. Passed the fuck out. My whole back is burnt right now. You know you laid in the sun way too hard when your bikini, like the string of your bikini didn't even move. It looks like somebody wrote in white down your back and the rest of it is red. That's how hardcore we passed out. But even just having the hour or two break, I thought of some stuff. I was thinking of some creative shit for the things that I'm working on right now. So I even on my breaks, I'm not really having a break. So I just want, I think I'm ready for a little bit of romance in my life. And I'm not, you know, I know that chivalry is almost dead. I know it's not completely dead, but let's be honest. Let's just be real. Let's just be honest. In this generation with social networking, guys don't have to flirt, really. They don't have to be, not that they don't have to flirt, but they don't have to try too hard. You girls are giving the shit up. You're just giving the shit up left and right. He asked for a tit pic. You're just giving him a tit pic. You're not even making him work for the tit pic. You're just sending it to him like he deserves it. He doesn't deserve a tit pic. And you're ruining it for bitches like me that might really want some sort of substantial situation. You girls are just tossing the tit pics out like it's currency that he deserves. Like it's a privilege it's a right and not a privilege. It's a privilege to get that sent to a dude. Don't just send those out willy-nilly and then expect him to respect you. And then I expect it to be some sort of old school love thing that exists. And it can exist with that whole bullshit cyclical thing happening where you girls are just giving shit up too easily. Make a man work for it. And the problem is, girls, now we don't want to make him work for it because we're worried he's got too many options. And so I understand the mentality of a girl wanting to send a tit pic just to get a dude's attention because you're worried that there's some other bitch, and you're right, there is some other bitch in the chamber with a tit pic ready. She's got a tit pic for every day. She's got a Monday tit pic, a Tuesday tit pic, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. She got a Saturday tit pic. She's got a church Sunday tit pic with some crosses over her nipples. Bitches are ready and prepared to send their little things out to get the attention of a man. And it makes it difficult for women who are kind of old school. I'm an old school chick because I grew up without all this technology. I knew how to flirt. I knew how to physically flirt with a dude, and a dude had to physically flirt with me. There was no tit pic. I wasn't even flashing him my tits, and he wasn't flashing me his dick, which would be the way that we would have done those things back in the day, because there was no way. You'd have to, like, everyone has this joke, like, oh, we weren't able to take dick pics. If I wanted to take a dick pic, I had to go down, get the film processed. I think my friend Chris Frangiola has a joke like that. Like, you know, he's got to go take a photo and he had to get it processed. And that's the truth. So today it's so much harder for a girl to find a little romance, a little true romance. And I know there's a bunch of like dudes that are out there like, I'm here, I'm right here. But there's not a lot of you out there because even the nerdy dudes realize how much accessibility they have to all these other girls that are willing to send tit pics to them. And it just makes it very difficult. And I wish girls would have some sort of standard and self-worth about themselves to realize you don't have to impress a dude that you don't know. You don't have to send a tit pic to some mother. Usually you're sending tit pics to a motherfucker you don't even know. You don't even know him. You're bored. You want the attention. You want the cell phone textual attention. We all want this attention. We're all scared that it's going to be fleeting and gone because everyone has too many fucking options in this world. And it's true. So I get the mentality of wanting to have the attention of a dude, but all it is creating this vicious cycle where the quality of interaction is depleting and the quantity of interaction is increasing. And we all know that old cliche, quality over quantity, it's the truth. So stop sending so many tit pics and start having some self-respect. And you know what? How about, you know what, dude, you're not going to get a tit pic. How about you send me a vocabulary word? I'm not going to send you a tit pic. I'm going to send you a vocabulary word. That's what I'm going to do. And without Googling, you have to tell me the meaning of the word. But you know what? You can't even trust a motherfucker to do that. Because this day and age, he's not going to know the meaning of any word if it's not an acronym, if it's not LMFAO, because the English language is dying. So not only is romance dying, but the very foundation of communication in the world is also dying. The English language, which is a beautiful language, there's a lot of words that can describe feelings and emotions and things, that's dying because this new generation of kids don't have time. They don't have time. I can't type out laughing out loud. I can't type that out. I'm too busy. I'm too busy because I got to get to the BRB. I got to get to TTYL. I got to get to all these other letters that are acronyms for sentences that I'm too busy to even spell out. I mean, I know I went on a little tirade there, but I'm just telling you that I feel very strongly about this subject. I do. I'm worried that romance is dead, and I'm worried that tit pics are alive and well, and girls are not valuing themselves the way they should, and realizing that you don't need the attention of a man. How about you get education for yourself before you worry about the attention of a man? How about you learn a skill? Let's learn a skill. Let's learn how to create. How about you learn how to paint a tit pic? How about you learn how to do that on a canvas instead of just snapping the shot real quick and sending it to a dude who doesn't deserve it and he's not going to call you back because you know what? He's got somebody else's Instagram handle that he's just going to hit up right after you. He's going to just DM a bunch of bitches and get as many tit pics as he can. You know what he's going to do with those tit pics? He's going to send them to all his friends. He's going to show them to all his friends. So we got to stop this tit pic thing that's happening. And dudes, I feel your struggle. This isn't just me attacking men. I feel your struggle. What are you supposed to do? You get a tit pic? I mean, come on, that's a lot of responsibility. You're not going to open it. Of course you're going to open that tit pic. Of course you're going to show your boys. Of course you're going to look at it 1,000 times. Of course you're going to send it to your friends. That's another thing, girls. You think that tit pic just stops with his phone? No, he is sending, he is forwarding that tit pic all around town. So I get the struggle is real for both of us. The struggle is real for dudes. The struggle is real for girls. And the struggle is real for probably lesbians and gay guys too. It's real for all of us. Nobody is separated from this situation. We're all in it. We're all in it. So all I'm asking is for everybody to have a little bit more self-respect and a little bit more patience so that I can go on a fucking date. My leather just farted. Wait. That's me in my leather chair. Okay, so that's how I feel about that. I hope you guys learned something. I'm very, very excited about, I have to get another word to describe my emotions. I really do. I interviewed one of my newer comedy friends in the world today. Her and I performed in Chicago together. She's from Dayton, Ohio, but she hails out of Chicago as far as like where she got her, comedy started. I believe that she started in Chicago. I could be wrong, but I know she's from Ohio. So if I got both of those details wrong, then I'm a horrible friend. And that's just what happens. I need to go back to the drawing board, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Her and I worked together in Chicago at Zany's a bunch of months back. And she is one of my favorite comics. She's very smart. She's different. Her whole point of view is different. And I like that she's a fun comic to work with for me because I'm so energetic and physical. I'm a very physical comedian. And she's kind of the antithesis of my comedy. And so it's just a nice change when her and I were on, it was shared a stage together. Well, not at the same time, but, you know, her and I both performing. It was a nice little comedy dichotomy with her and I each performing. So she, you probably saw her on Jimmy Kimmel Live. She's been on At Midnight a bunch of times. She was on Chelsea Lately. She's doing the damn comedy thing. Hardworking bitch, a funny bitch, and just honestly, I texted her after we interviewed and I was like, you're a good person. She's a good person. She's somebody, like, some comedians are hard to hang out with because they don't know how to shut it off. And they also just feel disingenuous. They don't, you know, some of them are a little bit too hungry and sycophantic where they're just trying to, you know, get something from somebody. There's a lot of vocabulary words being thrown at you guys, but I feel good. I got a lot of rest last night and I'm just, you know, I'm trying to bring the English language back to y'all. Get it, y'all? Not really an English word, but whatever. So yeah, she's just a real person and I vibe with her really well. She is just a funny SOB and I hope you enjoy my interview with my new girlfriend, Beth Stelling. And we're recording. Before you go on stage, do you consciously think about your outfit?
Absolutely.
Do you? I do. Like, I want to look good, but I also, I don't want to look like I was trying to look good. It should be effortless, don't you think?
Absolutely. But I hate to disappoint you, but it always looks like you've tried. I mean, in the nicest way possible, you're very stylish. I mean, it looks like, you know what I mean?
I guess that's good.
Yeah.
What do you like to wear? Like,
a nice way.
You wear sneaker heels?
We love our sneaker heels.
Yeah. Our sneals.
Always wear sneals. I wore some weird, the weekend you and I worked together at Zanies in Chicago, I wore some real bad stuff. You know when you look back and you're like, wow.
I don't remember what you wore.
I think it was a gift, one of the things. I don't want to mention from who, but I haven't worn it since. You know when you wear something and you hate it so much, you're like, this needs to go to Goodwill immediately.
Yes.
Like, I got to get this out.
Yes.
Out.
That's what you did? You put your outfit from Chicago, all of our memories in your shirt?
No, we have other memories together. And I put them away. But I do, if I had to describe my look, I think sometimes I find it easy to nail down. And then other times I'm like, what am I? Because it's like casual, kind of dressy, but sporty, but a little hodgepodge. Like
hodgepodge?
I'll wear like a pencil skirt from American Apparel.
On stage?
Mm-hmm.
I've never
with sneaker heels.
I see. I can't. I'm not comfortable having like
my crop top,
my biscuit available.
Listen, I've looked back at photos and maybe I shouldn't have been so comfortable having my biscuit available, but I did it.
Skirt?
And at the time, I felt good.
Wow. I don't know if I could do that.
I did have a male friend at the show.
I feel so scared.
And he said, "You look really good." And
when you were in your skirt,
yeah, and he was just like, "It's borderline distracting." Just so you know.
Really?
And he meant that in a nice way.
It's like, wait, you're a dude. Everything's really distracting.
He didn't mean it. You're right. He's like, move your mouth less. Move your mouth a little less because I just keep thinking about you sucking on my dick.
Can you not blink your eyes? I just keep thinking about you blinking your eyes while you're sucking my dick.
When you hold the mic, it kind of looks like you're sucking my dick.
When you breathe, and I see your nostril do a little flare, it makes you think I'm sucking my dick. You know when you do the crossword? Makes me think I'm gonna suck my dick.
You know when you're going about your day and you don't text me back? Makes me think about you sucking my dick.
You know when you suck my dick? That makes me think of food. That makes me think of a sandwich.
That makes me think about funny.
That makes me hungry. You have to suck my dick to make me forget about sucking my dick.
Some people, I wonder, I mean, I think every guy loves that, but recently I've dealt with a whole like, okay, that's enough, I gotta have sex with you,
like going from the BJ to sex.
Yeah.
I mean, some dudes really like to just fuck, and then some guys just like having, like, you know, being eaten by a woman.
Sure.
I mean, but you know, it's like, for me,
sorry, I took it sexual immediately.
No, it's okay. We just went right there. Sucking my dick. Sucking my dick.
Sucking my dick.
I don't know, man. There's been a couple times when a dick goes in your mouth and you immediately regret it. And you can't take it back. Your number just went up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like that about sexual partners, but then I started doing this whole serial monogamy thing, so my numbers only slowly climb.
So you're a serial monogamous now?
It's like I kind of even don't want to say that, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
I said no, like you before you were some sort of, yeah, some sort of skink.
I know, but then there's always the whole, Al, you should be single for a while.
Yeah.
And the question with that is just like, should I? I mean, I don't know.
It's
when things
tough.
Are in motion, it feels weird to say like stop.
It does, for the sake of just being single.
Yeah, because you're like, wait, this is great, but I'm gonna stop it. Just to like be miserable for a second.
That sounds like somebody just repeating a bad habit. Like people do that. They avoid like getting in a relationship just because they're afraid, and so they stop when it's good.
Right.
I think that's what I do.
I know. Maybe that's why I have these. I have that inkling.
But don't you think like being a chick and doing stand-up comedy is, you and I are on the road a lot, and so you get lonely, right?
I will say this. I'm not saying I don't get lonely. Right. I really like enjoy being alone. I don't want to be the girl that's like, I don't know, but I love basketball. I do like being alone. But here's when I am willing to say, I don't think I ever let myself be lonely because of what I'm saying I do.
Right.
So whether it's texting with someone or if that's something ends, I'm already texting with somebody new to have a companionship.
You do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Texting or photos.
Like a nice text rollover.
Yeah.
That's a smart way to do it.
I mean,
it.
I have a joke where I say I'm a Tarzan dater. Like, yes. Before I let go of the stick, I'm swinging.
That's such
to the
a
next
funny.
Day.
I love that joke.
So I started adding, like, I graduated magna cum laude. Like, I don't quit a job before I have another one lined up. So I know what I'm doing. But I think so to answer your question, I don't think I ever let myself get lonely, even though I'm alone.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be a lot worse for me, but now it's just like, I think being on the road, like, you know, you don't always get to have friends on the road with you. So you have to sort of figure out how to fill in the time.
Yeah, I think now I am curious how you feel about this. Sometimes I want to get to a city, even if I know people there, I almost dread getting together. Like,
yeah, because I could see myself, small talk.
Yeah, I could see myself like going there to the, say where I somehow always picture Arizona, but
Arizona sounds great.
Say I'm going to Arizona for
Love
shows.
Arizona.
I get to my hotel. I'm going to watch TV until it's already too late. I have to rush to get ready. Then I go to the club, do the shows, and afterwards people are like, let's grab a drink. And I'm like, so tired. You know, I got to do this again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I sleep forever, watch TV, be like, I should work out, leave like truly 10 minutes to work out, do it, get ready, do it again.
I kind of do the same thing. Yeah. I do. I mean, there's some people who we'll see, but it's to me like getting together, and I think maybe just because like you're doing a weekend and you're working, so when you get together and then it almost is a stop in the momentum of the weekend for me. It feels like that to hang out with like people who don't do stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
it feels like a deviation from the weekend.
Sometimes I'll also have this stress thing too where I'm like, they're like, let's do this tomorrow, and you're like, but am I gonna be back in time to rush to get ready like I always do?
Yep, I do the same thing. Like when you to do
like
sightseeing.
Let's go do
shit.
This activity. And I'm always like, I'm stressed, you know? But then sometimes I would say that people who I don't even like that much or know that well, excuse me, I burped. I had ribs.
Horchata.
And horchata cake.
Horchata cake burp.
In December.
She tried to feed me some cake.
Horchata.
I didn't, but they're drinking horchata.
You're right. It's a milky.
It's, that's right. You said it's milk.
Cinnamon.
Can you never say milky again?
Drink.
Look at me right in my eyes like that.
there. You know, have been to Jenny's ice cream ever in your life? Or
no.
Heard of Jenny's ice cream?
No. Do you remember you and I sent you a photo.
Oh, wait. Back and forth. I thought we were eating different kinds of Jenny. What was I having?
I think you Instagrammed
that
Jenny.
That I was there.
Yes. And I was in an airport that dispersed little mini Jenny ice creams, and I had tasted it before I saw your post,
Magram.
And I was like, this is the best ice cream I've ever had in my life.
It's rich.
It is so good
and intense.
It's
well,
like
there's
crack.
One on the corner over here.
Is that where you sent the photo from?
Yeah, it's over here on the corner in Los Feliz. I don't even know what I was saying. Oh,
you're talking,
sorry, they have one right now called Milkiest Chocolate.
Oh, don't,
sorry, just want to let you know that.
God,
you know they closed down twice for Listeria scares, and I just went right back.
Listeria, I thought that was like a Phoenix album.
It'll just
what's
kill
Listeria?
I know, you're right. You're
sounds
right.
Like a
it is, that is. The
is that Modest
Listomania.
Mouse's new album?
Listeria. Yeah.
Good to see them go. Blah, 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 I know.
Like a rhino. I don't know.
A lot easily open. We should take this show on the road.
Wow. Do you sing?
What's your karaoke song?
You know, unfortunately for a while, it was two. One, Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow's Picture.
What?
I put your picture away.
Oh, that's a good one.
Sat down and cried today.
Look at your face.
Okay. And then the other one was Evanescence, You Never Call Me When You're Sober. Which,
can you, that's a,
I know, it's a beast sometimes. Yeah. You know, when you lock into something and then you're in the middle of it and you're like, oh no. There's nothing worse to me, actually. Like, I was doing shows on my tour this summer, and I did a show in Wellington, New Zealand.
God, that must have been so amazing.
It was incredible. I was all by myself, a single woman, just globetrotting.
Just banging hobbits.
Swinging the world by its tail. And I went in, did the show at this place called The Fringe. It was great. Small, fun venue. And they're like, stay around for karaoke. And honestly, I had a great show. I had a great time, great show.
That's good. It was a success. Feeling good. Yeah. Buzzing.
And then they're like, stick around for karaoke. And so I did, and I put a song in. And I think they saw their hero fall. It was very embarrassing. I was like, I've undone what I did here. And I don't know if I'm welcome back.
No, but karaoke can undo everything.
Yeah.
You did Evanescence there?
No, I think I did Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow. And then I agreed to one other one with some other girl who was very nice. But I didn't know it.
You didn't have the singing chemistry?
Oh, God. You know what it was?
Shoop.
No, that would have been great.
I love Shoop. What was it? Oh, God.
Ball what to ball.
Bang to bang, boogie boogie, down to boogie, then up chomp the boogie. Oh,
do you know how many times you have to say that?
It's like 17 times.
It's
in that
enough
song.
To say I need to leave. Actually,
yeah, it's enough to be like, let's cut the song in half.
Yeah, somebody stop me.
I love karaoke. I haven't done it. Last time I did it, actually, Chris Frangiola came to the West Side. We had a brunch at like 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That ended at like 4. He saw my new apartment, showed him my new place.
Yeah,
and then I was like, all right, I gotta do some work. He's like, yeah, me too. And then like he left. And then texts me like 20 minutes later. He's like, I'm downstairs at the bar underneath your apartment. And I was like, all right, round two, let's go. Yeah. And then we proceeded to drink until 2 o'clock in the morning and ended up doing karaoke with some guy in a purple wig at Sing Sing. I think that's the name of the place.
Yeah.
In on Wilshire, some old karaoke place. I forget the fucking name, but we did. Don't go breaking my heart.
I couldn't if I tried.
Oh my God. 2 o'clock in the morning, wasted. And people like recognizing him from Chelsea Lately and shit. It was hilarious. It was so funny. Yeah, that's the last time I did karaoke.
I heard there's another good place in Studio City. I don't know why I brought it up because I can't remember its name. But I hear it's fun because, you know, some places they'll have like the musical theater kids who moved here to be on Glee. And then they kind of just they missed the mark.
Chris Frangiola told me about this place.
Yeah.
And they go and they're actually... You're drinking water out of a gallon jug of water. Are you a heavyweight champion mm-hmm. of the world? You got to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Chris told me about that place too. He says that they sing really well. Like it's just, you don't want to do karaoke because of how well they sing.
Kind of impressive.
What?
Very impressive.
Ready? Yeah. I got something for you.
A burp?
Yeah.
Sorry about that sound,
so
everybody.
So cute. Was it cute?
Yeah, it was.
I always ask people this question. Do you think there was a pivotal moment in your life that made you start doing stand-up comedy? Or an accumulation of moments and then at the third or fourth big moment? And not where you knew you were going to do stand-up comedy. I'm talking like in retrospect when you look back
mm-hmm.
and you can sort of, you know, grab all of these memories and be like, these are the three things that maybe... made me
want to be a stand-up comic.
Yeah, or not even want, but just sort of shaped you into having to be a funny person to deal with shit.
Mm.
Like for me, my mom kicking my dad out, moving in the neighbor's dad.
She moved in with the neighbor?
She moved the neighbor's dad in to my house.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's She's like, he's gone. We are going to take him for our team.
Yeah. She was just shifting dads around in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interchanging dads. So there's like one of those, you know, something like that for you.
So did the other family miss their dad or?
Oh, yeah. They shot BB guns into our house.
Sure.
They shot our house up with BB guns.
Yeah. Did you retaliate?
But with tears, you know. We weren't really like a violent family. We just receded and cried.
Right.
We retreated inside and cried.
The sad part is like, obviously, it's because it's that you, I would assume out of love that she wanted him. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But whatever, shit happens.
It does happen.
You know, I think like, you know, sometimes if you grow up without something, like you don't really know it's gone.
Right.
Because he never had it.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't have really much time with my dad at all. It was so early. So it's not that I don't have, I think I kind of have zero memory with my dad until he came back in my life, which was around 6 or 7.
Damn, he was gone for, those were like,
yeah,
very, very important years to miss.
So I think, you know, I think like once you start seeing what you're like, you see all the other kids, like maybe drawing photos or like drawing their family or
the
whatever.
Stickers that go on the back of the
this was pre those stickers,
but the drawing of the stickers.
You know Mo Welch? Do you know her? She's a comic.
No, I don't.
From Chicago.
No,
she does this comic book or this comic called Barely Blair. It's for AfterEllen.com.
Yeah, that's great.
And she just started selling stickers like that, but it's one girl and it just says "just me" underneath it for your car.
That's great.
It's just me.
Yeah, because it's like these people and their full families.
Well, I was riding my bike up Hillhurst whenever Yes All Women was trending.
Yeah.
And I was riding my bike up and I look over at this van that has like mom, dad, two kids and a dog. And I see the van and it's parked. And I go, you know, I see what's happened and I have to pull over and get a photo of it. I like pull over off my bike, get off my bike, get my phone out. Because a bird had shit just on the woman. I was like, this is my only Yes All Woman post. And it was. I didn't see anything else about Yes All Woman.
It's a metaphor for life.
Except for just the bird shitting on the woman on that family bumper sticker. Or not bumper sticker, window sticker.
The stickers, yeah, the decals. So your decal was missing a dad.
Yeah, so missing a dad. And I still drew him, I think, early on. He had a bald spot. Where he had like, you know, whatever it is, male pattern baldness.
Yeah.
So whenever I did draw my dad, I would draw a hole in the top of his head. Like, I don't know why, like, that's where the hair wasn't. I wonder if other kids did that. I'm sure
that's
they did.
Really cute.
But so I think maybe looking around at other kids and stuff, when you see that, that's when you start to feel like, oh, maybe I am missing something.
Yeah.
And I will say this too, it almost informed like, oh, I guess maybe I should be sad about this a little bit, although I never really was. So being the youngest of three girls, and then my mom raised us, she's a music teacher, and she taught piano lessons in our house for extra money and did choirs on the side too at our church.
Wow. Are you musical?
Yeah. I mean, despite what everyone's heard so far on this
podcast. I would consider that musical.
But I just mean, I can actually kind of sing.
Okay.
But she's a pianist at classical.
What did you just,
pianist.
Me? Are we back in the dick jokes already? Yeah. And your mom.
My mom's a pianist. But she was such a good piano player. My sisters played and then I tried to play. She taught Yamaha, which you learn how to play piano on a Clavinova. Yamaha's the brand, but
yeah.
It's also the school. Like, so she taught Yamaha and you would go and learn on a Clavinova.
Is that easier?
With electric keyboard. Yeah. Kind of thing. Yeah.
I would think it'd be a little bit easier.
Yeah. Plastic keys and then, a little easier.
Yeah.
And, but my first concert, like I never could really get it. And my first concert, you know, all the kids are up on the stage and I just reached over and turned mine off and just like ripped it. I was just like, you know, like pressing the keys. It didn't matter because my Clavinova was off. My mom was like, well, let's put her in gymnastics.
Clavicle was off.
Yeah, yeah, my clavicle. My Clavinova was off. So, okay, maybe Clavinova moment.
Yeah.
Also, cut to many years later, my dad did remarry and his wife liked to party. And
what kind of party are we talking?
Vodka, Drugos?
Okay, vodka.
Champagne.
Oh, wow. And, I like her. I like her style.
Yeah. So she took us on a cruise, each one of us separately when we would graduate from high school. We really didn't have much of a relationship with her. So it's almost like, it's like as if I was like, Jessie Mae. Because we know each other. But it's like me being like, what do you say you come home for Christmas with me? And you'd kind of be like, yeah, I bet that wouldn't be bad, but... Okay.
Yeah, I'd be like,
no, better not.
I would be like, sure, let's go.
Right, right. That was a bad example.
But no, I know what you mean, though.
But yeah,
I know
what you mean. And it was kind of like, you're offering, or especially if my place was like in Naples or something, you'd kind of be like, maybe I should go, but I don't know you that well.
Right. You're like, well, I'll go for the experience.
Right. So we're all like, okay, we'll go on this cruise.
So you went alone with her?
Yeah.
Just you and her?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And how long has she been married to your dad at that point?
They got married before I saw him again, so a while.
Okay, but you didn't really know her.
No. I mean, it had been, 10-ish years.
How awkward was it?
She just, you know, she partied and stuff. I made friends with a 30-year-old.
No,
I think I had a beer or two. But oh, yeah, definitely.
She was ripped.
She never like sloppy crazy, just definitely drunk.
So she basically was like, I'm going to take your daughters and cruise
so I can drink without repercussions for a week. Yeah.
Do you think she ever went out and philandered a little?
I don't think that. There were a couple, because my dad doesn't really drink. So there were a couple times we'd be out to dinner when we were visiting where you'd look over and she was definitely at the bar, like, you know, I joke and say she was cheating on my dad, but she's like talking to some guy who's probably buying her a drink. And then we're like, dinner is served. And she's like, meh.
And she's like to him, you want to come on a cruise?
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, on that cruise, I was 18 and I did karaoke. I had made friends with this woman named Diane. Coincidentally,
what up,
also
Diane?
My mom's name is Diane, but Diane Majewski. I still remember Majewski? Her. That's her name. We emailed for a long time.
Oh my God.
She was 30 at the time, which was old to me.
Right.
And, but she was kind and she kind of hung out with me and we went and karaoke'd and I won.
You won karaoke? How do you win? You were the best karaoke person?
I guess so, yes.
That's amazing. I was.
And so then I was in the final show of the cruise ship in front of 2,000 people.
Holy shit!
Had you done stand-up?
So you hadn't done stand-up yet.
No. So did I lip-sync or did I sing? I can't remember.
How can you not remember?
But I was Britney Spears. I have it on VHS somewhere. Actually, my first love, his mom has it on VHS somewhere because she thought it was so funny. She made duplicates. So she has it somewhere. But it's me and a Britney Spears Hit Me Baby One More Time costume.
Yeah, they do costumes on cruises.
I went backstage and they had that whole outfit in all different sizes, like small, medium, large kilt. And you got to just try on the kilt that fit you. I'm like pelvic thrusting and humping. It's all on VHS.
Oh, man. I want to see this.
We'll find it. Maybe I should. You know, I had a brief moment where I was like, that's going to need to be my merch. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. A photo of you doing that?
No, here's a hard drive and put it in your computer. Or a download
code.
I'm thinking
like a photo of you doing it. And you're like, no. The whole thing.
Embarrassing.
Your merch is interactive. Is that not your karaoke song anymore? Hit Me Baby One More Time?
It's not. But you're right. It is easy to sing. I mean, she hardly sings.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Very good.
What's yours? You didn't tell me. I didn't ask.
My karaoke song? Mine is really emo and hilarious. Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know.
That's good.
Like, it's so angry.
You oughta know.
She's so, with all that hair. I just loved her hair.
She was cool.
She was a rocker.
Still cool, but like, yeah.
She was a badass.
Nice. I also loved Lisa Loeb. I got released on the same podcast as her at one point in time. We were never in the same room, but same dual release episode, and it like kind of made my life.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Yeah, I was like,
I love that song.
I'm in the same tweet as Lisa Loeb.
I mean, she was kind of a one-hit wonder, but what a fucking one hit.
Yeah.
That was like the hit.
Do you remember Fuente?
Yes.
I think that's them.
That was Fuente. A one hit too.
Yeah, I love them.
But you and I bonded over, with a couple other of my friends as well, 90s hip hop. You love 90s hip hop.
Absolutely.
You're like, what do you call yourself?
Oh, the Tisha Campbell?
The white Tisha Campbell.
Oh, yeah, I'm a white Tisha
Campbell.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah, and then for everybody who doesn't understand it, it's Gina from Martin.
Yeah, if you don't understand it, we just can't be friends.
Yes.
One of the greatest shows of the 90s.
I said it on Pete Holmes' show, and he goes, I'm sorry, like, who's Tisha Campbell? And I was like, Gina from Martin. And then
Pete Holmes?
He didn't know.
Of course, he is the wonder bread of the comedy world. He's white. My manager, he sent me Justin grew up in Agora. Which is California.
Agora Hills.
Agora Hills. Okay, yeah. Okay. And he's so white. Like,
honestly,
so
I was thinking Angora for a second.
I love Angora.
Okay.
But Agora.
Got it.
And he's a very white man. And he tries to get like hip hop on me once in a while, which is hilarious. And he sends me Eminem lyrics. But he's really trying to be like hardcore. And I just send him photos of Wonder Bread. I just send him photos of like starched, bleached bread.
I'm so late on this, like big time late. Did you see the interview with Eminem's cameo in it? The movie, The Interview, Seth Rogen. And was it James Franco?
What was his cameo? I was so high when I watched that.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it for the first time this past weekend in Lake Arrowhead.
What was his cameo?
It was I'm Eminem. And he's like, he's talking. He's like, because, you know, I'm gay.
And oh, that's right.
Blah, blah, blah. He just like casually comes out and they're like freaking out. They're like, did Eminem just come out? Eminem just come out on our show?
That's right. He was playing himself on the TV show. That's right.
And they go into some of his lyrics and he's like, what did you mean by this? And then, yeah, it's like, yeah. I fucked him in the butt.
That was funny.
He's like, I mean, I had sexual intercourse. Like,
yeah, he was very funny in that.
He was good.
I was just going to ask you, you made me think of something. Wait. Okay, so you're talking about music.
Yeah.
Do you have any other skills? That's what I want to know.
Oh.
Besides stand-up comedy.
Yeah. I used to be a gymnast. So I'm still pretty flexible. And so I can do some gymnastic things still. But I mean, very minimal. But
like what? What could you do?
Front walk over. Back walk over. I can do splits on both legs.
Can you still do splits?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can do it.
I've always wanted to learn how to do a split. Do you have to just be naturally flexible?
Naturally flexible helps.
I'm not.
That being said, I do the bar method, which is a workout thing. There's all different kinds of it. There's like pure bar, the bar, blah, blah, blah. But mine, the kind I do is the bar method. And I like it the most. And over time, that will make you more flexible too.
Over time,
if you take those classes, you will increase flexibility.
I just want to be able to do a split before I die.
Well, then every day, and this is how we did it.
Every day.
Well, how about this? Start Monday, Wednesday, Friday, actually. Okay. This is because I was on the team, which is the team for the gym.
That stand in
it
the
was
street.
Called the Tops Gymnastics in Dayton, Ohio. And you competed on the weekends. So I was like on the competitive team. I wasn't amazing. I was pretty tall for a gymnast. But
yeah, but you're athletic.
I was decent. I was good. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Monday, Wednesday, Friday we trained. And probably each leg sit in right splits as far as you can go down for 2 minutes.
Right.
Left leg for 2 minutes. And then straddle for 2 minutes. And then two more minutes with your leg up on something.
Like where I have to like brace it. Like, yeah. Could it be a
like
person?
It was a mat. It could be a person.
But could ours it be was a like giant a,
you
man?
Know, a 4-inch mat or whatever we call them. I can't remember all the lingo now.
Man, I just want to be like that flexible so I can just like look
But
hotter.
That's the thing. I'm sure if we all woke up and did like push-ups or sit-ups every morning, that, or maybe you do, then it would make a difference. But everyone, it's hard to get in a routine.
It is hard to get into a routine, especially like, I mean, we're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
All over the place.
If you really genuinely want to do the splits, don't even do your left leg. Pick a leg even. And then just sit in them as long as you can for 2 minutes every other day.
I'm never going to be able to do a split.
And then slowly you'll go down further.
You think so?
Absolutely. You just have to stretch your muscles and stuff.
I've been Snapchatting people about how
really
to do
yourself
splits.
If you just try to go all the way down, though. I don't want to see that.
No, I don't want you to see that either.
But yeah, I'll do the splits for you later.
You will? You'll show me?
Yeah. You can totally. Oh, other skills. I don't know. I can play field hockey pretty well.
Is that lacrosse?
It always gets paired in that, but honestly,
is it with
to
the
me,
little
it's very
thing
different.
On the floor?
It's a stick.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my stick there.
With the little ball.
It's a wooden stick. One side's flat, one side's curved, and it's a plastic ball, like about this
big.
Yeah.
That's some real Native American shit, kind of, right?
If anything, what? Croquet-like, though, which is like.
Yeah, it's like
white
English,
America,
right?
Yeah.
It's like
or English, yeah.
Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You, where was the place? It was haunted. You're saying you're in a haunted place.
Oh, yeah. Lake Arrowhead. I stayed at the Tudor house. So Ryan Singer had stayed there before me because he did the show before me. It's called American Parlor Songbook. And yeah, you essentially kind of tell a story or whatever, but that's the gig. And then part of the deal is that you get to stay across the street. The place is the Tudor house, and then I stayed in Brackenfern Manor.
See, that sounds haunted.
Yeah. And they gave me the bridal suite.
Is that where she died?
I don't know.
You don't believe in ghosts?
I didn't investigate because that really scares me.
Brian, so you must have seen
Ryan,
something.
I didn't see anything. Ryan texted me about it. We talked on the phone actually about it.
What did he say?
There's
another horchata burp. She just blew a horchata burp out of the side of her face.
I was teaching Sam how to burp and
blow. Your hair blew. You just blew the burp.
It's important. If you just burp and look away, it's going to linger and that other person
I appreciate
smell it,
that.
You know? You have to burp and blow simultaneously.
You really care about me.
I do. So.
Ryan called you.
Ryan called. We talked. He has a great story about it now. It's a new bit. But he was scared. He was told it's haunted. What?
What? Is there something scary that happened? I love scary shit.
Honestly, no. But he was frightened all night. He like stayed up smoking cigarettes outside his car, outside of the place.
He wouldn't
stay. He kept hearing things.
What would he hear?
We need to get him. You need to get him to tell a story, because honestly, I don't want to butcher it. But he actually put his recorder on all night because he was trying to record what he was hearing. And then,
oh my god, that gave me chills.
Now he heard, and his phone died. Then he got even more scared. The service was terrible. Yeah, I mean, I remember that. I had to use the Wi-Fi, which the Wi-Fi was fine. So.
Yeah.
But apparently there was a couple that was there, and they were fucking for sure. But originally he just kind of heard, like, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
He was told, I think, along the line, something like, nobody's going to be there tonight. So I think that threw him off originally.
Right.
And it was a couple having sex. It was these two women. And he basically was like...
He was haunted by lesbians?
Well, at first, yeah. I mean, at first he thought he was haunted, and then he realized it was just hot lesbo sex. But
which can be haunting.
Yes, because you can't be a part of it. I think, yeah. And then, you know, there are just a couple other incidents. We talked to people in the morning after our first night, and they said, did you experience anything haunted? So it's like, it's not just
it's
me saying
thing.
That. It's a thing. Yeah, I came downstairs, and they're like, did you feel anything? I was like, no, did you? And like, no, but Jason, like I would know Jason.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I was like,
the hell's Jason?
Like, no, but Jason said he saw a light turn on and off, and it's kind of just like, all right, I'll tell Jim. I mean, I don't know. Who Jason is.
It's like a whole, they think it's like a, yeah, like a whole community of people that are staying there.
Right. But
just because you stayed in the same place.
We were third floor, top floor.
It must have been an old building.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced anything paranormal?
I want to say, I'm scared to say no, because then something's going to happen to me tonight.
What, you think
but
so?
But not really. I don't like being scared. I do not. What about you? You like it a little, obviously.
I do like, well.
Have you experienced
paranormal? I don't know if
paranormal?
I like your face. I don't know if I like being scared, but I do. My father and I always used to watch horror movies together. And like from a very young age, from like 5, 6, 7 years old, my dad, my mom used to scream at him because he'd have me watch these movies. And
then she was like, get out of the house. I'm getting the new guy from next door.
Steve's coming in because you're making our daughter watch Child's Play.
Uh-huh.
I think I love them, but I don't like to be scared because I still get very scared.
Yeah.
But I have experienced a couple things, but I'm not a superstitious person, and I'm not, I don't look for things. I'm not trying to see things, but I did have this thing. I forget what it's called. There's a term for it. It's similar to night terrors, but.
Okay. Sleep paralysis. I've had that as a kid.
Yes.
And it is pure terror.
It is horrific.
I used to say the Lord's Prayer to get myself out of it when
really?
I was a kid. Yeah. I mean, because we didn't grow up super religious or anything, but my stepmom had planted something in my head that she was taken over by demons at one point in time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then when I came back to Ohio, which is where I grew up, she lived in Florida with my dad.
Yeah.
So I came home, I have that in my head, then I'd get sleep paralysis, and I was like, oh, because I hung around her, it's
oh
robbing
my God.
Off on me.
Oh, God.
And I'd be like, our Father,
see,
who
even
art in heaven,
just that
hallowed
gives
be
me
thy
chills.
Name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and just like shake myself out of it. We're not the only ones who thought that. My roommate,
it's
who's
real.
Also named Beth, grew up very, very religious, much more than you or I, like speaking in tongues type thing. That's how she grew up, and she's no longer religious, but as a kid she for sure thought it was the devil.
I mean, it's a terrifying thing.
Yeah.
When I lived in Boston, I was living with my boyfriend at the time, and I was working I was working at H&M, and I'd have to get up really early, like 7 to 4 was my shift.
When you owned H&M, yeah.
When I owned H&M, and I come home and I just crash on the couch. And I always the same dream for, I would say, almost 3 weeks of napping. I was the sleep paralysis. Usually the dream is where you are. So it feels like you're awake.
Okay.
And you kind of, you're in a suspended state of consciousness where you are conscious of where you are, but you are unconscious.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing. And in this particular apartment, there was a shadow figure at the edge of the couch. Every single time.
Fuck.
And you can't wake yourself up.
Yeah, it is scary.
So you just have to like literally find some way to like wake yourself up. So that shit for, you know, 3 weeks scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And then I like saw something, you know, you hate talking about shit like this because then people just think you're crazy.
Yeah, well, we're not that. Like there's Ryan Singer, who I mentioned, who you'd think the answer is, oh, he likes that type of stuff. His answer is actually he doesn't really like that type of
stuff.
Right. But he has a podcast called You, Me and Paranormal You. And he has people on that talk about their experiences.
Ooh.
So, like,
Yeah, so
you could go on and say that, and you guys would talk about like we are.
I love that. See, I like to talk to other people who've experienced things, because it's like things happen, and then you try to
rationalize
and find some sort of logical explanation. But when it's things that you don't understand, and it becomes a thing where, like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And I had this one night where I went to bed, and we had this very small bedroom.
Same place in Boston?
Same place.
Which is a city rife with
history. With history and angry people. Ghosts. Angry dead people.
Yeah, that were wronged.
Yeah, that were wronged. A lot of black people that were treated like shit in Boston, because it's, you know, history of conservative assholes. Mm-hmm. So I was asleep. I wasn't asleep. We were in the bedroom, and he passed out. And the bedroom was pitch black. It always was pitch black, except for this little line of light on the ceiling that came in from the window behind us. Mm-hmm. Very small bedroom. There was like a foot on one side of his bed, a foot on my side of the bed.
Oh, wow.
That's all that fit. Very small. And so...
And a dresser?
And a dresser towards the... Yeah. It was like a long rectangle.
Okay.
Very narrow. And I was wide awake, no drugs, no alcohol in my system, totally stark sober. He passed out, and I'm just like looking at the ceiling.
Oh, so you're in bed next to him.
In bed next to him. I'm looking at the ceiling, and then I just sort of turn over, and I see this like...
I'm scared. Okay, keep going.
I see this like glow. Not like a very bright glow, but it was an outline of something next to him. And it was so... It was very very soft. It wasn't very bright, but it was just there, and it looked if I was in a court and I had to say, as best to my knowledge and in my capability of communication, what I saw, it looked like a woman pointing. It looked like a woman pointing over the bed. And so I closed my eyes and I freaked the fuck out, and I was like, literally kind of Hail Marying myself, like, that didn't happen. That didn't fucking happen. I don't know what that was. You're fine. Your man's right next to you. Everything's cool. You're in a bed. You're in Boston. You're alive.
This ghost bitch trying to steal my man.
This ghost bitch trying to point his shit at midnight. Like, she coming up in here with her low skirt looking cute, trying to be like, yo, wake your man up. I want to suck his dick. I want to give him a ghost blow job. I can deep throat with my ghost throat.
Comes out the back of her head.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. So then what? You were like, this isn't happening.
This isn't happening. And so I close my eyes and I turn to my side, and then I open my eyes and there's something on my side.
No.
Yes. I know this sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy.
Keep going. Because I have a small explanation, perhaps. But
okay.
Keep going.
Okay. I'm open. I'm always open explanations. And so I looked at my side, and then it looked like, it gives me such fucking chills to say this shit. It looked like a woman, and then it looked like a littler person next to her.
Oh, fuck.
And it looked like a little girl. There's no detail. I'm just telling you what I remember in my brain and what I remember from that moment. And it looked like a little girl. And I fucking waved. Like, I waved at them. Just from, like, I'm under my sheets freaking out. And I just kind of, like, waved my fingers like this.
Yeah.
And it looked like the little fucking girl waved at me. And then they were gone. I closed my eyes, opened them, and then they were gone. And everything looked normal. And I punched Randall, my boyfriend.
Randy,
wake up. There's your fucking baby's mom showed up. And I'm like sweating and like my hair. I'm right now, I have like such a reaction to it because it's such a visceral memory. What do you think the explanation is?
Okay. Well, before that happened, I had one. Now, okay. Maybe a dream. Maybe it is what it was, which was, you know, paranormal activity, because you waved and something came back. You know, my thing was, now it doesn't totally make sense, and I, whatever.
Well, even what I saw doesn't make sense.
Sometimes our eyes, sometimes you try to see really hard in the dark, your eye or whatever does interesting things.
Like, right.
Has outlines, or especially if you went from light to dark, but you were laying there for a while, which kind of almost blows my case out of the water.
I adjusted.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes the eye in darkness can sometimes, you know, maybe attach to the light that was coming through the top of the room.
Right, and you kind of create stuff. And kind of
came down, was garbled. But yours is saying, your mind is saying it was a shape. It wasn't just like a beam.
It looked, that's what I mean? Looked like a consistent shape.
Right, that's why I don't have an explanation, really.
And that's even scarier, because nobody can really. Yeah. And I, like, if there was an explanation, I'd be like, cool. I'm not trying to spread ghost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just relaying what I experienced.
Right.
Which freaks me out and to this day has affected the way I sleep.
I bet.
Ever since that day, I had like such nervous sleep and I couldn't fall asleep. That's why I always like to ask people if they've had like other stuff that's happened to them.
Sure.
And I'm trying freaky.
I can completely relate to you on the sleep paralysis thing, which doesn't help this particular cause because you experienced that too. I would have the reoccurring dream as a kid from my childhood bedroom that there was a man in the back.
Really?
Yeah, like a man down, because I second floor, my room faced the backyard.
Yeah.
We had a garage, backyard, and an alley behind us. And there was a man that would kind of come wait for me down
That's
there.
That's fucking freaky.
Yeah.
That's fucking freaky.
And it seems so real.
It seems so real because the dream is where you are. The dream is your exact place.
So that was terrifying for a long time.
That's horrible. A lot of people experience that shit.
Yeah.
And you're not even on drugs. You're like, I don't even know if I want to do drugs. If this is like what people feel.
I don't do drugs because
Have you ever done drugs?
I don't like feeling out of control.
I don't either.
It's not in my nature. Yeah, I've smoked weed. I drink.
I like booze.
Yeah. I used to smoke cigarettes when I drank sometimes, but like, yeah, I don't do drugs that kind of make me
mind altering things.
I don't, just because, well, I guess you'd call it, I'm a wuss, but yeah, I don't like feeling out of control and I'm scared of what will happen. I also remember in high school watching a video in psychology class where they're like, this woman was fine until she was 27 and then had a mental break, and they're like, could have been induced by drugs, could have been. And I'm sure they're like, that is probably some strange propaganda to like, don't do drugs that are psychedelics,
totally.
But this woman went from fine
to fuck
to a schizophrenic,
bitch.
And
that's,
I was like,
meth.
I would really rather not have that happen in my life. You know what I mean?
Drugs literally make you take a hard right.
I have a friend who's experiencing that right now with a loved one.
Ugh.
Where they, you know, they grew up with this person and then they think it has somewhat to do with drugs. Nothing like crazy hard forever, but like they experiment with drugs over a period of time. But this is a young person about that age, 27.
Oh, damn.
And so they're going through that with their loved one and it's like, what do you do? That person's fucking...
And it's hard. You have to like get
that's
it.
The real
thing. You have to get it at the right time before it starts to go way deep then, where you can't
where
control
they,
it.
All,
and then
they
it's
can't
gone.
Live
then
in society. They can't function.
No.
So then it's like a home situation where they can still continue to live their life out, but yeah.
And
you know, one of our family friends has another case of the similar thing.
That's crazy.
You know, where to say what those people are experiencing, lay people will be like, well, they don't see that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they do see that. Those things or whatever they're saying.
Yeah.
So I'm understanding of that. I'm not, you know, it's the way I see it is like, how could you not be understanding of that? They're telling you what they're seeing.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, when they're making up for attention, they can't keep a job. Like,
right.
I don't know. So that's tough.
Yeah.
So that's why
you never did drugs in high school then.
Yeah. I think like, yeah, we did this comedy festival. They provided us with weed and mushrooms. And I tried the tiniest bit of mushrooms on the beach in Maui. And so I can't tell if I was enjoying it so much because I was on mushrooms or if I was in Maui watching the sunset.
Did you have any sort of like...
I just felt great.
Yeah. See, I've never done mushrooms.
Nothing. I wasn't seeing anything. I just felt great.
That's so you'd be a good spokesperson for mushrooms. I feel great.
Yeah.
Get some.
could have been life. Could have been the shroom.
Do you perform drunk? Oh, wait. I just answered my own question because I saw you when I met you.
Yeah.
When we in Chicago.
Do we get drunk?
Oh, my God. You were so funny. That show we went to afterwards. What was that little show in the back?
Oh, yeah.
What's that show?
Parlor car. And
you
went on stage. You're such a great sport.
Why?
Because not everybody would come out and hang.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted to because I was like excited that I knew of you, but I got to meet you and work together. You were so drunk. Do you remember how drunk you were?
I told them.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me your butt.
She's whispering into the microphone.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, you didn't put it in my butt. Newsflash, wasn't my butt.
That's right. You told that story. You told that story on stage.
First and last time. That's because I was drunk.
She got drunk and told a
story about someone who thought they put their penis in my butt, but they didn't.
Yeah, she told a story about... How do you not know?
I know. Well, they were like, thanks for giving me your butt. And I just was like, I just lie of omission. I was like, I didn't say, I think I was just silent or whatever.
He really thought he put it in your butt?
Yeah, I'm like, that's just goes to show me, which is like... If you can't tell, what are you doing back there?
What are you doing? Like, is this your first time?
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you can't tell, well, then why do you need to do it at all? It's because it's a power thing.
It is a power thing.
The butt is a power thing. And usually people that are, like, borderline have tendencies towards, I think, I've talked with other women about this. Usually men who, I mean, not every man that likes butt sex.
Some men.
But.
Allegedly.
Yeah. From other women I've spoken to, some of the men that do like butt sex are usually abusive in some way.
Yeah, they tend to have some of them allegedly can possibly
not be all complete,
not every single one.
No,
a few. There's like two of them.
Yeah, I know a really good man that was like, I'd try it, but you know,
yeah,
they're not this last one, but
some of them are total fucking power trip cunt whores.
Right. Exactly.
It's not everyone. Thing.
Not everybody.
But most.
But maybe if you are listening and that's you.
It's every single guy.
Call a therapist.
Don't. Yeah. The whole power thing. It's like.
Yeah. And to some extent you can understand. Like if you're into certain things sexually, it's like you can find that other ways. You know, like a tying up situation or a whatever.
Just read Grey's
Anatomy. And obviously it's ultimately the woman's choice, clearly.
Yeah.
To participate in that activity.
Please.
Don't just try.
Don't just shove anything in there. You have to ask. It's a privilege, not a right. I always say the bum hole is a privilege and it's not a right.
Absolutely.
And two in the pink, one in the stink. I have this new thing that I'm working out on stage.
How did we let
none
that
in the
happen?
Stink?
Yeah.
None in the stink. It's called stink for a reason. Get your pink out of the stink. Yeah. You don't belong there.
No.
What are you doing?
Yeah, none in the stink.
I'm gonna implode. Because you're plugging my holes and you're moving, so the air is going to be sucked in and I'm going to implode into a black hole. I'm going to be gone.
You just kiss them and plug their nose up and they're like, how do you like that?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like all the air being blown into your orifices, you asshole? Do you see how it doesn't work? Physiologically speaking, doesn't work.
Who let that happen? Who let the two in the pink, one in the stink happen?
This
is a shocker. It was a wrestler.
Some porn star.
Oh, it was a porn thing.
It's got to be a porn thing.
I thought it was a wrestler.
Is
I used to watch some wrestling as a kid.
It might be.
It's the shocker.
It's
the
shocker.
It's called, but it feels like a wrestling thing that happened. I don't know.
It feels like hand-to-hand combat. Thing? This could be hand-to-hand combat. This is just a Tai Chi move.
Yay. Whatever.
Yeah, you have your... I love that you have a Mr. T doll.
Oh, yeah. That was given to me by an ex-boyfriend, a lovely man.
That's a great gift.
Yeah, he got it to me for Christmas.
That's really sweet.
And I got Michael Jordan from Space Jam holding my mail key.
You have Michael Jordan. You have a little statue of Michael Jordan holding your mail key. Yeah. Speaking of power trip men.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a lot of people's reaction would be like, rightfully so. He was the best at that sport.
Yeah, well, he was so great.
He could do whatever he wants.
He could do whatever the fuck he wants.
Apparently, you know, good we do he was? Say that, yeah. I mean,
if you,
you know,
excel.
Same with Cosby's.
Oh, man. Isn't
if you're the
crazy?
Best, you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Did that break your heart a little bit?
No.
It didn't?
I mean, for the women, of course. But yeah, I think...
Were you never like a huge Cosby fan? Do you doubt any of it?
I don't doubt any of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, I haven't seen enough coverage of it for me to really... I mean... You don't have to see much. I don't mean to form an opinion. There's no opinion. It's he took what wasn't his from many, many, many women.
Yes.
I mean, the Time magazine cover was very telling with all the women on there.
It really was. The way they laid that out. I was
it was
ooh,
powerful.
God.
But yeah, I think, you know, when you, like we talked about this earlier, it's like, who cares about the counter arguments. It happened. You know, the women aren't seeking money.
They're not seeking money. Fame. They're not seeking fame. It happened. That's like the whole thing is like, oh, these are gold digging bitches. No, they're not. They're not digging.
It takes
for gold.
Sometimes the power in numbers.
It's power in numbers, and it's scary to come out for that shit.
It is.
It's
and
scary.
When you go through something like that or any sort of abuse situation, you go through a lot of things.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I'm just going to move on. It didn't happen.
Right, because it's not socially acceptable to talk. You feel the society has created this sort of reaction to it where you don't feel safe explaining what happened. Yeah. You don't feel safe divulging that sort of situation.
No, and you'd rather just move on.
You'd rather
so
just
many
move
people.
On.
And then, of course, then it's like, okay, well, you should have told us right away because now we don't have any evidence. And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
They don't want to relive it. Australia was great for a lot of reasons, but I learned, you know, things along the way. And one of the laws they have in Australia is if you're raped, you come in, you testify, it's on camera, and you never have to talk about it again. They play that test in court.
Wow.
So you do not have to go back into court and testify looking nice, dressed up, putting on some sort of face. They play the video from that night.
That is, that makes me speechless.
Yeah. That's how smart they got a lot of things figured out.
That's really smart. And that's the way it should be. Cause like any other testimony after that, even your own testimony would be affected. That's what I'm saying.
I start changing myself. Like, you get out of a relationship, you stop remembering all the bad things. You start missing that person. You're like, yeah, they really were that great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you sugarcoat your memories.
Yeah, you change everything. There's no way to remember details. I mean, mm-mm. Like my ghost night, I'm sure there's some shit that I left out.
Yeah.
It really was just a woman.
She was looking an ice cream cone.
Yeah. It was just a woman I let in the house. Yeah. It was a homeless woman and her child that I was taking care of.
I forgot. But yeah. So that's another smart thing that they do.
The whole Cosby thing is just, I know everyone's talked about it so many times, but I don't know. I wish this motherfucker would come out and say something. Just have some balls.
Because if I'm not mistaken, there was one interview or something that came out.
Podcast guys tried to start. It was either a podcast or a radio show.
I swear it was like a Kirk type character that did get an interview with him. I need to search because I don't want to ignorantly speak.
It might have been a little bit more high profile of an interview.
I thought he did an interview, and she said to me, like, did you this or that? And he responded, it was just, you know, garbage. It was, like, nonsensical.
Yeah, crazy.
Him playing senile.
Yes. Yeah, he's a smart man.
He is smart.
He's a very smart man.
It has come out, though, that he's admitted to it now.
Has it really?
I thought.
Maybe he's alluded to it. We can't make any opinion, but we have to look into that. Yeah. And that's a crazy thing.
The youngest was a 15-year-old now. That was the most recent news someone told me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then people were kind of like, I wonder if his wife knew.
Camille.
I know. I said Camille, too. But is that her real name, too?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I thought it was just on the show.
No. I think Camille was there. Is real, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
You really got to do some education with ourselves.
We sound dumb. But yes and no, because it's all over the media. And it's really black and white. He did that many years ago.
Yeah.
And now we're just figuring out if anything's gonna happen.
But I just think it's like crazy that he really doesn't, even though his career is somewhat over because he had to cancel a lot of shit, it's still like just becomes, you know.
I do wonder how much money he has. I bet it's a ton. I mean, I saw him in Vegas years ago because an ex-boyfriend really liked him and wanted to go. I'm not saying I'm denying that I ever liked Cosby. I'm just saying, like, he was like, let's go to Cosby. I was like, yeah, we should do that.
Right.
And so we paid, I'm sure, a good amount of money for whatever those tickets were.
Yeah.
So I think my point is, if you're touring at 80 or whatever, he's probably got fine.
He's got
money.
Bank.
Yeah. But he was making.
He's kind of making syndication off of.
Yeah. I wonder how long that goes.
Cosby. I mean, that show still runs. A lot of networks dropped. TV Land dropped it.
Yeah.
And I think one other network dropped.
Judd Apatow. I mean, first of all, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey had called him out years before Hannibal did.
Yes.
But no one really listened.
Mm-mm.
And
shocker.
And Judd Apatow made a joke about it on his Fallon set. It was Fallon, right? Yeah. His late night set, Judd Apatow.
Yes.
He said, you know, if his wife knew or found out, his joke essentially, and I don't want to butcher it, was just that Bill Cosby would look at his wife and be like, do you like your life? Do you like your life? And, you know, and then that would be the end of it.
And then she shuts up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like your life? What would you do if you didn't do comedy?
I heard for so many years from other comics, like, you do comedy if it's the only thing that you can do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I don't feel like that. I feel like there's other things I could do. But the further you get into it, the less probable that becomes.
Yes.
Your skills dwindle.
Yeah, I mean, they take a back seat for sure.
Yeah, now I can serve a table. I always thought I could move back home and be a pet groomer. But it's more difficult than I think.
Pet grooming is very difficult.
It's very difficult.
I can't even groom Fozzie. He's 5 pounds.
No. In fact, I had an accident as a child, which is why I have these scars across my fingers. I try to cut my dog's hair, and it just
and you cut your knuckles?
Fingles.
Your fingles? Is that the name of your dog?
Wills was his name.
Mr. Fingles.
Fingles. Yeah, I love it when Fingles. Kids say that. Can I have peanut butter? Get under the covers with me.
The R's, they can't pronounce their R's.
Yeah.
What about when grown ass men say that?
It's upsetting.
You really make me laugh.
You make me laugh.
You'd be a pet groomer for real?
I'm telling you though, I don't think I could actually do it. I think it's more difficult than I think. And I think it would be really grating after a while.
I think we could be professional video hoes. You can dance, can't you?
Yeah. I guess we could do that.
Have you always kind of wanted to be a video hoe?
Yeah.
Are you just placating to me?
No. I think just like a lot of stand-up comic men wish they were rock stars, a lot of rock stars wish they were stand-up comics, yeah. as we've seen in of our course. Lifetime. The John Mayer's, the most recent Most Deaf.
I can't stand his face. Most Deaf.
Yeah, they had an article that was like, Most Deaf does stand-up for the first time in Montreal or Toronto or something like that. And another comic posted like, does stand-up means talking to a mic without having a show. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, for yeah. them, at least.
I was having this conversation with Rogan, actually, last night at the store. We were talking about how so many... I think stand-up comedy is one of the only careers that people who aren't doing it look at it and think they could nail it.
And then on the other... I agree with you completely. But then on the flip side of it, think that it's the bravest thing in the world.
Yes.
So
those two things exist yeah. consistently.
Yeah. Simultaneously. It's the whole, you're yes. the bravest. How could you do that? Most terrifying thing in my life. And I could do it. Which is very characteristic of a stand-up audience. Whereas if you go to an improv show, it's like, let's see what they're going to come up with.
Right. Because it's spontaneous. Yeah.
Whereas stand-up's like, this person thinks they're funny enough to get up in front of us. Yeah. They think they're special enough.
Yep.
So that is the sort of arms crossed. Like, let's see what you can do.
Don't you think it also is that way too? Because stand-up comedy, I think the mechanics of it are sort of hidden. Because mm-hmm. you can't really, a good stand-up comedian, you can't really tell if they're not, if they don't know what they're doing.
Not that they don't know what they're doing. It's harder to tell if they don't know what they're doing.
I think with stand-up comedy, it's harder to see the cracks in it because so much of it is internalized.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, as far as like performing and all
that. I do see what you're saying.
Even though we bomb in front of audiences. But I think bombing is such a smaller fraction to the whole picture of what goes into the art of it.
Think about me as a 22-year-old, people dying laughing. I have a video of me, like, real fat, telling jokes, like, real confident. It's upsetting to watch and embarrassing. And people were laughing, and I'm like, oh, I've said nothing funny. You know? And I'm not even being harsh. I mean, it's...
It's bad.
It's bad. And so, yeah, that's upsetting.
Yeah.
Because I kind of... It just goes to show, like, how I think it's kind of precious, but really, they'll laugh at anything. You know, like, I think it's precious or it's some sort of art form. And it's like, I mean, no, they're laughing at that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think I've formulated this perfect joke.
Oh man.
But I guess you're right. I will say as of late, it bothers me, not bothers me, but it's harder and harder for me to watch, a comic put on bravado. It's as in like a,
yeah.
an inexperienced novice comic put on bravado, like they know it. And I know I'm wrong right now because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go out and be confident and own it. So I'm wrong.
But it's uncomfortable for me to watch. I don't think it's wrong or right. I think it definitely is something. It's almost like every comic does that, but it's very uncomfortable because you're making my point, because it does exist on both ends, where it's like, you know, some people think they can do it and other people are like, it's so brave. With that bravado thing, you recognize a bravado because you've come out of it.
Yeah.
And you're looking back.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Younger comics.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm, you know, we're like these crazy seasoned, but you know, there's milestones in the career.
Yes.
But you see that looking back, you're like, oh,
You're right.
It's blind confidence.
I've seen a young woman open for me, and I watched her and enjoyed her, and I saw her tell jokes that I've told when I was her age. And clearly, I am not alluding to stealing.
Yeah, you're saying the
material,
things, yes.
Retread.
Right.
Because that's where you are in your life.
Yes.
Not verbatim.
Airplanes.
But, yeah.
You talk about, you know.
So, yeah, I guess you're right. Crazy. Watching that, it makes me maybe kind of cringe thinking about maybe how I used to be.
I think about that from like last week.
Sure. I mean, my album from 3 years ago, I'm like, nah. You know, I'm not saying I hate it.
Yeah, but it's such an evolving thing and evolves so fast.
I also learned a lot. It's like, I learned a lot. When I did with that, I was just like, I didn't own it like I should have.
Yeah, but it's a process. You know, you just get better the more you do it. I want to ask you one thing before we get out of here.
I'm ready.
Who is your at your face kills me. Who's your Hollywood crush?
Oh, shit.
That's one thing I always like to know.
I mean, in my head right away popped Christian Bale. Just because I loved him as a kid. You know, Newsies was something I watched and rewatched, like Hump the Couch about, you know. That was my, him and Tom Cruise were my first crushes.
Tom Cruise?
I mean, Tom's completely out of this picture now for me.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't like crazy Tom Cruise?
After, I mean, I surpassed him in height after third grade. You know what I mean?
Wow. You were over him in third grade.
And height wise, I was taller than him at that time.
Oh yeah, you are tall.
So I think I really liked him in like Far and Away when he was still with Nicole Kidman.
That was a great movie.
It was a fantastic movie.
Her hair was so beautiful.
It was so good.
She had her regular face.
Yeah. So good.
It was really good.
But Christian Bale in Newsies and pretty much everything else he's been in since, he doesn't disappoint.
He's damn good.
And then Ryan Gosling, I love. I mean, The Notebook for me was formative in those years where you're like longing for what you thought was lost love or unrequited love when really you're just like, I mean, get a life. But
you're like, love isn't real.
Yeah. So The Notebook, I remember just being like,
God, The Notebook still, man. That movie and the book.
I mean, when they're laying on the ground after they reunited and had sex.
Oh, my God, like, with the fire?
Pancakes, banana, or he's like, pancakes. And he's like talking about breakfast. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
Who else really gets me
he's
going?
All sweaty. That was such a hot scene.
I mean, Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings Playbook.
You gotta stay away from Bradley Cooper, though.
Really?
Yeah, you gotta stay away.
Is he bad?
No, because I want him.
Oh, get it. I get it. Girl.
You can't. I'm not sharing him. I love his profile. I like that big nose of his.
He's great. I mean, I loved him. I've loved him in so many things.
He's great. He really is great.
What was he nominated? No. American Sniper? I don't think he was nominated for Tony, but he was in Elephant Man.
Oh, that's right. On Broadway.
I never saw it.
I think he just got off of it. We didn't see it.
No, but we should have.
We should have gone there and just worn like
I need to get over there.
MILF outfits.
Yeah.
You know, moms show up and they're just trying to like.
We should have brought out like a bouquet of carnations.
Well, since we're on the subject of crushes, I saw my crush Stamos on Broadway.
How you? I feel like that's like reachable for you.
It's yeah, right now, you especially did, now after rehab.
Oh, Nikki Glaser posted the other day. She found some restaurant or wherever she was on the road. It said pre-Stamos. And she's like, what I call my life right now. Pre-Stamos. But it was one word, pre-Stamos. Yeah. Prestamos or pre-Stamos,
right.
Whatever.
That's funny.
Yeah, it made me laugh.
I saw him on Broadway, and there was just a bunch of old ladies there with their cleavage and frosted lips. Like Uncle Jesse.
Oh, he did some Glee appearances. I've actually brought up Glee now twice, but I don't know why.
He was
I only
on
watched
Glee.
The first season
like
or
seven
something.
Seven episodes. But he was on Bye Bye Birdie on Broadway.
Really?
And my best friend took me there. I got wasted off of champagne.
Him
I saw him on Broadway. Third row.
And?
We made eye contact.
Oh, shit.
I said something Greek to him in the receiving line after.
What?
Yeah. I said some Greek shit to him, and he was like, are you Greek? And I was like, no, I just want to say something you're Greek.
And then what did he say?
And then he's like, okay, great. And then I kept walking.
Damn it.
And then he got into the limo with two 19-year-olds.
That's when you, like, sprayed his face with Windex. What was that? My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's tough to watch heroes fall.
It is. Just the way people watched you fall in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Evanescence. Or no, Kid Rock.
No, Bawa Da Bang Da Bang Diggy. Oh, God.
Bawa Da Bawa Da Bang Da Bang Diggy Diggy Diggy
said the buggy set up. Chuck the buggy.
Where can people find you? This is probably going to go
up. I fixed my website. I think it's sweetbeth.com again.
Sweetbeth.com. What happened?
I don't know. I mean, somebody had built it for me years ago as a gift, and I just... Whatever. I made a Squarespace because I needed to update it. I didn't want to keep bothering them.
Yeah.
And then they found out, and they were, you know, because it would have been helpful, but whatever. It's annoying. My point is
they can find you at sweetbeth.com
or just on Twitter at Beth Stelling, and then I have the links there.
And where are you going to be performing with, like, next month? Anywhere can they see you live?
Yeah. Well, cool thing is, definitely I have live dates next month all over. I guess was it September?
Yeah, September. Anywhere you can think of.
Crap. September 15th, this will be good.
Yeah.
Is my album recording in Chicago.
Perfect.
At Beat Kitchen.
Yes.
And then October 10th, my Comedy Central Half Hour comes out.
Perfect. That you recorded. You
in
taped
Boston.
Last month, was it?
Yeah. June.
Well, Boston. People need to find you.
Where are they
going to
find you?
In their in their closets. Reenacting my whole.
With my girl.
My ghost story. It was just me. Just kidding. Role play.
It was E.T. when he dresses up like a little woman.
Yeah. They'll find me. Look in your closet. I'll be in there haunting you with a child that I picked from Whole Foods.
Yeah.
So thanks for talking with me, sweet Beth.
Oh yeah, thanks for having
sweet
me.
Sweet Beth. That's like a sweet Melissa.
Oh baby, baby. How was I supposed? How are we supposed?
Keep doing it. Keep
to
doing.
Go.
Go.
Something wasn't right. Oh baby, baby. I shouldn't have let you, go. But now
something
show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, cause I need to know now. Oh, because.
Bye, twats. 'Girl, Beth, the star, Stelling.' That's my girl. That's my boo thing. How much fun? How much fun is everyone having? Next week on the podcast, I'm going to be interviewing Ashley Campuzano. Campuzano. I think I'm saying her last name right. Ashley Campuzano. She plays Tiffany on East Los High, which is a show available on Hulu that's getting a lot of buzz. She is a cute Mexican-American actress, former Miss Teen California from 2008. So she's a busy girl. She's a busy girl. And I want to ask her all about the being a part of a beauty pageant and what is involved with that, the process leading up to it, what's it like afterwards, and the truth. I want to know if this girl will divulge some of the truth behind this. But these girls really can't get into it too deep because, you know, the Miss Universe and the Miss America people really get their claws into people. That's right. I said it. You guys are going to come after me again? What more can you do to me? You already made me get rid of my tour name. So she's on the podcast next week. Ashley Campuzano from Hulu's original, I think it's Hulu's original show, East Los High. So she'll be on the podcast next week. I am going to answer some absurd questions from you guys. I do this every week. So I usually post on Sunday, sometimes Monday. I posted today to get some questions in for me to answer on the podcast. I like to stay in touch with you crazy maniacs. First question is from my sister. Who is your favorite sister? How funny is that? That I'm talking about all my sisters that I have. And I had two stepsisters from my mom's second or third marriage. After my dad, she got married again and he had two daughters. So at one point in my life, I had 47 sisters. Emily Peluso, who was your favorite sister? I'm my favorite sister. How about that? Okay, and the second question from Linda Kalbus. Who was your prettiest aunt? My aunt Linda posted after this. I gotta say, my Aunt Linda is killing it. She is a distinguished woman. She looks good. I see you, Aunt Linda. Aaron Cantu, who has asked me questions before. When are you guest starring on At Midnight again? Actually, I just spoke to my manager about this, so soon. I miss it, too. You miss me on there. I appreciate it. I miss the show. At Midnight on Comedy Central. You guys have to check it out with the infamous Chris Hardwick. Dave Culhan, why is Orgasmo such a great movie? I haven't seen it, and judging by the name, I probably won't because I have a good idea of what it is. I could be wrong. Maybe it's like this great science fiction movie about an orgasm that saves the Earth, like this powerful orgasm that a woman has that saves the Earth from an imminent meteor blast. Maybe that's what the movie is. That's actually a good idea for a movie. I mean, it doesn't have to be a porno. It could just be like pure science fiction mixed with like a little bit of sexiness. You know, kind of like, I don't know, 50 Shades of Grey meets Solaris. Just let it settle. Meets Interstellar. Is that where something was going to smash into the Earth? I mean, whatever. You guys can paint the rest of the picture. Tracy Jones asks, weed or liquor? You know, I boozed a lot in my life. You know, I probably have told you guys I was in a bar when I was 13. In my bloodline, our bodies are made to metabolize liquor. But I have to say, I like weed. I enjoy a little bit of a joint once in a while. It depends on the type of weed. Some weed makes me bug the F out. I just like a nice, mellow, chill weed. And then other times, I like a weed that motivates me mentally so I can think of some crazy ideas. So yeah, there's your answer, Tracy. Are you going to take me out and have some fun? Mario Renteria. It sounds like some place where you go and rent a bunch of stuff, like a store that sells shit that you rent. Renteria. Bleached butthole update. I have to say, at some point, the bleaching plateaus. And it's not like your teeth where they get bright, bright white and you smile and everyone's like, oh my God, Dick Clark. It's when you see my butthole smile, you don't think Dick Clark, but you do think, here's a girl who takes care of herself. So there's your update, all right? Ray Vigil, who is my boy at Silverado Vineyard in Napa, he says, I don't want no stinking necklace. If you guys have a chance to go to Napa, go to Silverado, request Ray, and drive him nuts. Nicholas Steinbeck, when are you bringing your show to Florida? That's a good question. Carly and I played the Tampa Improv a couple years ago. Last year? I think it was a year before. I don't know when I'm going to come back to Florida. That's a good question, Nicholas. Just keep checking back at jessiemay.com. I'm sure I'll get out there at some point. If not to do a show, it'll be to dry hump Pluto. That was my boy. I loved me some Pluto. Or Goofy? Oh, I'm going to get up in there. Yes. Susan Rector Caparina, when are you going to be on Girl Code again? Susan, a lot of people have asked me this question, and I appreciate you missing me. If you listen to the farts episode of my podcast, I believe it's episode number 7 with Laura Murphy, I explain why I wasn't on Girl Code, so check that out. Natalie Sliger Cloud? That sounds like a fake Native American name. That sounds like a white girl trying to sound like a Native American. Natalie Sliger Cloud. Cloud's such a good name, though. If that's your last name, bravo for you. She wants a crazy neighbor update. Well, honestly, I know I told you guys, I'm whispering because my doors are wide open. I think I might have told you guys, the apartment I lived in last year, they were just fucking so loud. Like it sounded just very dramatic and very theatrical, almost like it was a contrived noise that the girl was making just to, she might've been paid for it. But in this new apartment, there is people who like to fuck loudly. And it's like Melrose Place here. Our courtyards, you know, is very tropical, but the noises reverberate off of these stone walls. I wish that apartment complexes, when they build apartments, they also consider the fact that noise travels, and some of the noise isn't noise that we really want to hear. So maybe they can put up some soundproofing on the walls and the exterior to absorb some of those fucking noises. Not like just fucking noises, like the fucking noises, like when you fuck, actually fuck. But I haven't heard any of that lately. The hilarious part, haven't heard any fucking noises, have heard a new baby crying. There's a newborn baby crying, and that's the new noise that has replaced the fucking. Oh, the circle of life is happening all around me. So basically the people who were fucking made a baby, and now they're not fucking anymore, and they're just taking care of the baby. So Emily, I'm sorry, but I'm never going to have a kid. If I stop having sex, ugh, God, what's the point of life? So that's my neighbor update. Jason Newland asks, at what age did you know you were a comedian? I have to say that from as far back as I can remember, I didn't know I was a comedian, but I knew I was funny. I didn't really know I was funny. It's just the way I communicated. So I think since forever, since I can remember, you ask my mom, she'll say the same thing. My dad will say the same thing. So I guess since forever. Hal Spencer, I see you like campy horror movies like Zombievers, but you also like the creepy, disturbing Sleep with the Lights On horror as well. What about foreign horror movies with subtitles? I do. You know, I love horror movies. It's a thing. And I know I haven't talked about any new horror movies lately, and I apologize, but I have to really look into my list of movies that I've already listed for you guys, and I have to think about some new ones because I know there's some good ones out there. And I actually was listening to the Nerdist podcast episode with John Cusack, who's one of my favorite actors. He was talking about a Japanese film, and Hal, you were asking me about foreign horror, which is one of my favorite genres. I hate the word genre so much, but to describe this type of movie, foreign horror is one of my favorite. And Audition, John Cusack recommended Audition. So I might watch that. I think it's a Japanese film. I don't mind reading my movies. You know, my mother was a teacher, and even though I didn't go to college, I'm an educated person. I like words, FYI. Okay? I like romance and words. But I do. The Norwegians have a few really great movies. I think Rare Exports is a Norwegian film. Trollhunter, I've mentioned these before, is a Norwegian film. Let the Right One In is a Swedish film, all subtitled. Those movies I recommend. Bobby Jack, what's your type of guy to date? Somebody with a hair? A hair? I meant to say a job. I was thinking of a hairy man. I meant to say someone with a job, and I said someone with a hair. Just one hair. One strategically placed hair. I like to, you know, my type before was a guy who was an asshole, and my type now is still an asshole. I just want a sweet asshole. Like, not even really an asshole. Let's move on from that in our lives, ladies. But I want, like, you know, a gentle lumberjack. You know, like a manly man, but he's tender. I want like a big son of a big hairy son of a bitch that's tender. I think Harry from Harry and the Hendersons is my main match. oh God. Okay, so if you guys have been following me, I have started Jessie Mae's giveaway. I partnered up with a couple of my favorite brands, and they've been nice enough to give me products to give away on my podcast as a little thank you for you guys listening and tuning in every week. I do this for free, and I just want to give back as much as I can to you guys. I'm fortunate enough to do a career where people send me shit, and I have enough shit. I'm actually downsizing all of my stuff, but I teamed up with a few companies. In this particular podcast giveaway, I decided to team up with the Urban Smith, which is a jewelry company out of San Francisco, who have been very generous to me and sending me products. And I wear one of the necklaces all the time, and they do custom nameplates, rings, just really cool, edgy, fun stuff. And the possibilities are limitless. Whatever you want to put on a necklace, literally this chick will make it for you. So we teamed up together, and the first necklace, she sent me four. That's how nice she is. She sent me four necklaces to donate to my podcast giveaway for you guys. And the first one up that I'm going to give away is the Badass nameplate. And what I did was I had an Instagram post of a picture of me holding a mac and cheese, a box of mac and cheese, and I asked you guys to give me your best hashtag. And I have to say, I was very pleasantly surprised. You guys are funny. I have very funny fans. Some of you are gross. Some of you are weird, and I love all of it. The gross is a give or take. But my favorite one, it was a hard choice, but keep in mind, I have three more necklaces to give away, so there'll be plenty of opportunities for you guys to still win, and I'm going to find new ways to have you guys do different things to win the stuff. There'll be photos for you to do hashtags on. I think next week what I'm going to do on my Facebook page is I'm going to ask you guys to send me a crazy name for my sister and her to name her baby, but we'll get into the details of that. First, let me say the winner of Jessie Mae's giveaway, the hashtag game that we played on Instagram, and her Instagram name is April N. Pickett. April N. Pickett. She put the hashtag to the photo. If you guys don't know the photo, it's me holding up a box of macaroni and cheese. Her hashtag was hashtag when you're a shitty mom, but you care a little bit. Which is so true. Like when you're not going to cook for your kid. You're like, I'm not going to cook for my kid, but I'm going to make him an organic box of mac and cheese. I'm not going to use Velveeta shells and cheese, even though that shit is delicious. I'm going to use the healthier mac and cheese. I loved it. My assistant Liz loved it. When you're a shitty mom, but you care a little bit. So kudos to April N. Pickett. I will get a hold of you on Instagram, and I will get your information to send you the necklace as soon as possible, and a couple other cute goodies I'll throw in there for you. And just make sure you take a picture of it, of yourself with the necklace, and show the world the cute necklace that you got once you get it. So next week, to give you guys a heads up, I'm going to ask you to send me what my sister should name her baby. Now, don't worry about gender, because we're in a generation where gender doesn't matter. So don't be restricted by gender, or don't be restricted by names. Go crazy, like Pen Knuckleberry Finn the Fourth. Whatever you want to do. I want to hear your most creative name that my sister should name her baby. That's going to be for next week, and I'll put more details on my Facebook page for that. That's where we'll play the next week's game, on my Facebook page. And so congratulations, April, for being a funny bitch. Thank you for participating. And look for my message. I will find you. I'll have my assistant hit you up and we'll get you all the details. How cute, April. You mad funny. And thank you for everybody else who posted. You guys were funny as hell, too. This has been a lot of fun. This actually has been fun this week. It's fun every week, but I got to tell you guys how I feel about dating and tit pics. I went on a tit pic rant. I mean, what do you want from me? I got to keep it real, right, guys? You don't want any bullshit from me. I know what you want. I know what you come here for. I will think of some horror movies for you crazy bastards. Thank you for sending me your questions. Make sure you tell your friends to listen to the Sharp Tongue podcast. If you think they'd be interested, of course they would. I mean, come on now. Even if they're not, let them listen to it. Maybe they'll learn a thing or two. Maybe they'll find a movie they like. Maybe they'll win a necklace. Make sure you subscribe. Well, you're already listening, so you are subscribed. Maybe not. Well, yeah, you should be, right? If you subscribe, it's the only way you can listen. I'm pretty sure there's a foolproof way of doing this. I'm not, you know, a technological person, so whatever. If you're hearing me in your ear, I'm assuming that you're subscribed, and I thank you for your subscription.
Oh, baby.
I found a fun little Britney-esque thing to leave you guys on. I'm going to miss you so much. I'm going to miss you so much this week. I really am. I hope you'll miss me. I'm going to go and snuggle my dogs because love isn't real.
And how fucking dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two fucking kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. Leave Britney alone! Please!